Blog Talk Radio.
Let's do it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's Empowerment Hour. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. Shereen Man, Marvin Roan, and crew. Come to you live. You can't beat empowerment. It's African American empowerment. Let's get it. Come on. Let's go, y'all. All day long. All day strong. Hey. Better love. That's what we got. For each other. Hey. All right. There's no better love than for self and kind. No better love. Welcome. Welcome to Empowerment Saturdays, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. We're going to talk about accountability and African-American mindset. But first, it's the tenets of the NAAEA. You know how it goes. Five words, right? Five concepts, five constructs, five opportunities in five different ways to make a difference. It's a platform for developing community for self as well. You can't beat it if you use the five. It's peace. Don't we need peace? Somebody answer that question for me. Yes, we do. How? We need peace within ourselves. We need peace of mind. And we also need a peace concept. And that concept goes like this. It's P, politics. Of course, you know we need a political agenda on all levels. That's local, state, national, and even international for that matter. I mean, we didn't come from here, actually. I mean, we're here, but we, you know, our roots go back. So why not have an international agenda, right, to really look at how we can structure ourselves to make a difference for our children, setting up political agendas that help us thrive and survive. You know what I call it? Thrival and survival, because we need it. I mean, all you got to do is look around. It's not all peaches and cream. Okay, it ain't bad all the way around, but, hey, for some of us it is. It still is. Some things have not changed, right? And so as long as we continue to garner our allegiances and alliances with each other, I think we got a great shot, a great shot. E is economics. You need an economic agenda. You need a money management agenda. You need to make sure that your paper is straight. You do. That's for your kids, for your family, for your community. You just do. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have to be able to work those things out. You're going to have to be able to develop an economic agenda, economic plan, and economic platform that simply works. It just does. You need money. You need money in the land of milk and honey. You need to make sure your kids are fed, clothed, taken care of, sheltered, and transportation to get them back and forth to activities that you want to take them to. That's right. Even sometimes a road trip up to the mountains or wherever you live, you need to go somewhere and take your kids there. You just do. A, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You need to take care of your body. You need to take care of your temple. What have you done this week to make sure that you have longevity, that you take care of your body, that you eat right, take care of your mental and physical health? You need a physical health and mental health checkup, wellness agenda, that you're always in tune with your physical, mental, and emotional health. Some of us are just simply mental, physical, and emotional wrecks. And we can undo that. We can do the work, right, of working together. Get the support and help and assistance that you need, right? And don't take it personal, right? Again, let's look at our friends and families, relatives, close and distant. Just ask, hey, you want any medication? They be like, yeah, I'm on that blood pressure medicine. And I got the diabetes and the sugar. You know, some of us say that from back in the day, the sugar. But anyway, hey, let's work to get off those pills. Cut the snacking out. Get out there, walk a little bit. Train a little bit, push back from the table. And stop eating a whole lot of processed foods and all that sugary, salty snacks and all those sodas. You need it. I'm telling you. Hey, somebody got to tell you, so don't be mad with me. C is culture. Relevant cultural programming that helps our children and our families become confident in themselves. Last week, Brother George said in his statement that we need to give it to our kids. We do. There's nothing wrong with getting some help, Well, guess what? You have to be the example. You have to be the information provider for our young people. You do. You. Right? Nothing wrong with that. And E is education, a comprehensive education. Comprehensive education. That means that we got to do a better job of educating ourselves and our children. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's really not. When we look at the components comprehensively of the peace concept and then look at the mission of the National African American Empowerment Association, that is to ensure that the needs of the African American community are met through the development of programs and services that support, inspire, motivate, and empower each member, each person, each family. You can't beat it. You can't at all. Join the NAAEA. Come on. Be a member. Help us out. We need it. You know we do.
Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah, man, we got the deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in. This is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
That's right. That's what Stan said. No more getting in to fit in, right? We have to do a better job of creating institutions and defining those institutions that support us. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Every other culture have and has those institutions in place and working really well. You should see the endowments. You should see the amount of money that organizations have to support the institutions that they create. They got it. We need the same thing for development, for training, for instruction. We just do. We sure do. Okay, now I'm going to wander. I'm wandering today because I said I was going to do something different, right? And I do want to do this because I think every week I'm going to trigger us, right, to think about how we can improve ourselves as a part of this conversation coming up today in terms of accountability and the African-American mindset. We've gotten away from some things. Let's see if we can get back to them. Here we go.
The 42 Laws of Maat. I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 Laws of Maat.
How about that? Play those back in your mind. and see if we can start working toward cleaning some things up. Oh, there's some toes that these laws step on. This is not even religious, okay? That's just a way to live, right? Can you mind your own business? Can you leave other people's wives alone? Can you stop doing some stuff? I mean, we're going to talk about it for real. And there's some things that we're doing that's just out of character for us, and we have to get back into alignment. Brother Stan called it correction for direction. I'm going to go to the Willie Lynch moment. I'm coming to you in just a minute, Brother George, but I'm going to do it out tech first. Be right back. I'm just going to the top of it because I got to remind y'all, it's a mindset. Oh, it's a mindset.
This speech was delivered by Willie Lynch on the banks of the James River in the colony of Virginia in 1712. Lynch was a British slave owner in the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712 to teach his methods to slave owners there. The term lynching is derived from his last name. Greetings, gentlemen. I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I'm here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented, as our boat sails south on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish. I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you are here using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. And you're not only losing valuable stock by hangings, you are having uprisings, slaves are running away, your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit, you suffer occasional fires, your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not have to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. I'm here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have foolproof method for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 400 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among slaves, and I take these differences and I make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On the top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, sizes of plantations, status on plantations, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on a hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust, and envy stronger than adulation, respect.
I'm stopping right there. Differences. Measure your differences. Think about how you think about things, right? And see if there's just an ounce of Willie Lynch in your thinking about your brother or your sister. That's all I'm asking you to do. Going over to Brother George. Bring it, brother. Oh. Welcome, welcome to Empowerment Saturday, Brother George. How are you?
I'm doing good, brother. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Man, I'm laying it down today. I laid out a whole track already. What you got?
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for the introduction, and thank you for allowing me to do these segments. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, brother. You're welcome. You know knowledge is power. You know that. I learned from you, George Brown. Brother George, all day long, y'all. All day, the brother is powerful. Go ahead, man. I'm out the way.
All praise be to God, brother.
All praise.
Today, our Kwanzaa principle is going to be emoja. And unity, to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. And as I said before, all these principles are very vital and unity, that one. We're going to have to figure out ways to pull ourselves together and start supporting each other in whichever way that we can. You know, we're going to have to do that. today's Willie Lynch moment, I'm going to read from a book called Motivating and Preparing Black Youth to Work by Jawanza Kanjufu.
Oh, I like this.
It's interesting that he would say this. What makes this chapter, this subject and chapter so difficult is because values are often intangible. Most of us don't know why we do what we do or why we like what we like, but are convinced that whatever the reason, it's ours and original. When I hear my sons enthusiastically claim their cars, I think of my possible responses. Now, cars, they're talking about, like when you're on a, one of the games that they play and they have cars. I could tell them to stop playing the game, but that would not eliminate the desire, change the values, nor prevent them from playing the game in my absence. I could make the game intellectual and raise technical questions concerning gas mileage, maintenance, durability, and cost. I could be emotionally disappointed that they don't value our car, or I could say nothing and think about what Eastern utilitarian value I could offer to compete against a Trans-Am or a Mercedes. I don't have to leave my car to better understand the tremendous impact Western values have on our youth. I actually believe I'm competing for the minds of my children, and I'm pleased that I see it as competition rather than collaboration. The challenge of providing alternative values is a very difficult task. Jahari Amini comments, now this is it's very interesting what this brother said. A value base is the foundation of every society. And as a consequence, desired changes in institutions or systems can take place only on a superficial level, at best, unless changes have first occurred in the value base of the society. Therefore, changing an imperialistic, exploitative people's economic system from capitalism to socialism or communism will not retard or change their imperial exploitive behavior. If the values of a society dictate that the people believe in competition, exploitation of others, and imperialism, those people will continue behaving in those ways, regardless of their economic system, until their society's value base itself is changed. I thought that that was very interesting, especially in the book it's talking about preparing our youth to work, that, you know, he brought up the fact that if you have a people that were birthed onto the planet and their nature tells them that they're going to be self-centered and that they're going to be capitalist and that they're going to be concerned with us, number one, and everyone else comes second, third, or whatever, it doesn't matter if you change the system to socialism, because they're going to still continue to behave in that way. And I think that's one of the misunderstood things that our people, black folks here in America, don't understand about Europeans, that that is who they are. And we keep on trying to envision that if we would just, you know, work together, we would just do this, do that. I'm not saying that if you're in two independent societies that you can't trade diamonds for this or that or gold for this or that. I'm not saying that you can't barter with another group of people. But I'm saying that if you live in the same society and your expectations are that they're going to believe or they're going to think or they're going to be able to empathize with the things that you are experiencing, my opinion, brother, you wrong. So that's me, brother, and I turn it over to you unless you have any questions.
Oh, man. Well, you kind of laid it down really well. But what are the things that we can do to educate our kids better?
Well, we need to, you know, dig deep and kind of go into ways of re-educating ourselves. Because many times, like, you can only pass on to your children what you know.
It's true.
So you pass on something that you think is good and nourishing for them, but actually it's not. And we have a lot of defiance within our children because there's something inside of them that's telling them that what you're telling them is not completely accurate. You know, it's even playing out on the world stage with the U.S. Senate and U.S. Congress. And you see a lot of the young folks that are more socialistic in nature. And they're saying there are things that human beings here in this country, in the richest country in the world, where the billionaires have made billions of dollars, and then you got people that are not even making a penny. And to me, that's a huge contradiction with human nature. You know, but saying you need to give up some of those billions so that you can help out some of these other people out of the condition that they're in, because it won't hurt you if they live a decent life. You know, I mean, that's what their status is. You know, that people should be concerned with each other, especially in a country that parades around the world trying to tell everybody how they should live. You know, and, you know, but as far as us with our children, like, to me, the greatest thing you could do is to make the attempt to be a great parent, to teach your children something. When you make the attempt, God will kick in and take over where you might fall short. But it still will leave an element of respect within your children for you because they know that you made that attempt to lead them down the right path.
I like it. I like that, Brother George. Thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Man, laid it down again. Here we go. We got to develop our people. That's just the truth, right? It's a culture and a society that we've been raised in that's not our own. That's the truth, right? So we got a history of domestic violence in the culture that's not ours, right? Again, we've adopted a culture, right? We have mental health issues, right? So we have to understand who we are. The question you got to ask yourself is, who am I? Am I a construct of another group of people, right? Like the president said, we're slaves. We're mentally slaves. That could be true for some of us. Some of us are free. But what we need is unity. We do. So the question is, what changes do you need to make? What changes do we need to make? What are our values? Our intrinsic values. Not just surface values, but what are our values? And like we talked about, those 42 laws, how can we apply those laws? And then when you talk about economics and exploitation of others for personal gain, you have to understand the system that you're living in and how to work it. how to work it. I'm going to the line. One thought before I go. We'll have to learn how to be accountable for our actions. We do. We're going to have to be accountable for the words that come out of our mouths and the things that we do. It's just as simple as that. Accountability is so important. I'm going to talk about R. Kelly later on today as well. So, but right now, I'm going to the lines. Oh, I'm getting ready to crank this thing up. You know where I'm going first. I'm going to 1683 first. Let's get it. You're live and in color. Welcome to Empowerment Hour.
Yes, sir, you? Brother. How you doing, brother?
May peace be unto you.
And to you, my brother. Greetings.
Thank you so much.
West,
greetings.
From the West Coast, brother. From,
oh, from the left
San
coast.
Diego, yeah, from
all
the
right.
left coast. San Diego,
you over
California.
There in Najala.
Yeah, I'm in Najala. No.
That's an inside joke, y'all. It's really La Jolla,
yeah.
But I'm so angry.
Yeah,
I ain't even know La Jolla was. Hey, I know H's is J's and J's is H's.
Yes, sir.
You got, brother.
Brother, I read your description on the phone message this day, and you know what we're talking about, and you know, learning, becoming the one, and I just want to get started by saying we cannot be the one.
Hmm.
Until we change our mindset,
I like
until
that.
We change our mental condition, we cannot be the one. And as Brother George just mentioned a little earlier, I've been saying for a while, we need to now take the power away from money, because that's the system. That's the value, as the brother was saying. That's the value system, the greed, the deception, the competition. If we're all enslaved to that dollar, because you need it to survive, therefore we develop a love for it, a love, you know, for the love of money. You know, we do everything. We sell our own souls. Because we die. We need it. Like I said last week, we need it to buy to get water, which should be free, to get electricity, which should be free. To get food grown from our Father's earth, which should be free. We need that money, that power. The power it has over us, it's enslaving us. And we need to really come to grips with that and realize that, because we have to change the mindset of our people, brother. And as you and Brother George were just talking about, I've said this before, but I think I should repeat it, that I heard Farrakhan say one time, if two doctors get together and make a child, and they teach the child everything they know, and the child willingly submits to the teaching of his parents, the child will grow up to be a doctor. If two lawyers get together and have a child, and they teach that child everything they know, and the child willingly submits to the teaching of his parents, the child will grow up to be a lawyer.
I like that.
If two fools have a child, okay.
Uh-oh.
Two fools have a child, and they teach the child everything they know, and the child willingly submits to the teaching of his parents, the child will grow up to be a fool. Has no other choice unless somebody intervenes to change the mindset of that child. And this lawyer's child, the same way, just going to be a lawyer mindset, doctor mindset, into the competitiveness, into all those things that we're putting into our children, not knowing any better. You know, not knowing that we're enslaving them still to the system. And I want to share this with you. There was an experience I just had. When I flew out here to San Diego, I got on the plane Wednesday, and I wore my shirt. I had this shirt design that I did, and I'm going to be put some more together. I only had two, but I was testing it. I was test marketing, as we call it. And I wore it out here on the plane. And it's a black shirt. And on the front of the shirt in red letters, it says, our self-hatred is killing us. Our self-hatred is killing us, in red. On the back of the shirt in green, it says, I love my black self, meaning I love you too. Okay? So I'm walking in the airport with my shirt on, and the looks I got on my shirt. the nods, the smiles that people gave me when they saw the shirt. And surprisingly, brother, I'm talking white people here. No black All right. person, my whole trip out here, acknowledged that shirt. When I walked on the plane, white man sitting in first class says, loud so everybody could hear him, "I love your sweatshirt." Now, all he could see is the front at this point, which is saying our self-hatred is killing us. Okay?
That's true.
All the white folks came, you know, said, like the shirt. Love women smiling. Love, like the shirt. One woman in Denver, when I was sitting at the airport in Denver, she saw the back. She could see the back of the shirt, and she said, "I love your shirt." And then when her husband came back from getting that food, she said, "I love his shirt. Look at it. It says, I." Then she read it out loud. "I love my black self," meaning I love you too. She said, "I love his shirt." And it made me think about what white folks seeing in it. You know, white folks seeing a shirt that said, "Our self-hatred is killing us." Now, that could reign true for them. Our self-hatred is killing us. And in the back, "I love my black self," meaning I love you too. They could see that as, I'm a black person that loves myself, meaning I love the world as well, including you too, white person. You know what I mean?
All right.
It got me thinking like that. I said, okay, I'm wearing it because I want the black folks, I want us to see the message that I'm trying to live. Not one black person acknowledged that shirt. My entire trip out of here. Don't say, we got to change our mindset. We got to be honest with ourselves. It made me realize that we're afraid to use our minds. We haven't been taught to use our minds. You know what they just said? Nigga, I ain't paying you to think. I ain't paying you to think. I'm paying you to do this and do that. What the hell are you thinking for? We need to. It's our greatest asset, brother. It's our mind. Use our minds and then be honest with ourselves. But you know, every day, I guess some would say God reveals more things to me, but it's my mind. I'm learning, I'm seeing things, studying things, and that those 42 laws that you read, it reveals. I'm revealing more to myself. Well, I'll say this: that God in me. Revealing more to me, because I don't know it all, brother. You don't know it all. It's a learning process we go through every day of our lives, but we have to accept it when we see it and admit it, that's the truth, and then move forward from there. Whether you agree with us or not, whether you love it or not, if it's the truth, if it's real, we have to say to ourselves, be honest with ourselves and admit the fact that that's what it is, and then move forward from there. We can't be the one bullshitting each other, bullshitting ourselves, and denying the reality of the truth of this world in which we live in. We can't.
True.
We have to see it and call it what it is, call a spade, and to be able to move forward. We cannot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as Brother George said earlier, if we cultivate those children. Before we cultivate them, we got to cultivate ourselves. You know?
That's right.
Cultivate ourselves, man. We've got to, you know, I'll share this with you, then I'm going to shut up. I was talking to a young brother last night.
No. Got to cut you right there. I can come back to you. But I got to hold you right there, brother. Hold that one.
All right, brother.
Hold that one. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. All right. It's true, right? The brother just got so much to share. I want him to share. I do. I really do. We have to continue to cultivate ourselves. The brother's right? So right. And I'm coming back to you. But we got to be able to get that self-love down pat now, just the way you are, right? If you can recondition yourself, if you can say, you know what, I'm just going to start teaching my children, my grandchildren, my friends and family about self-love, I think we're heading in the right direction. All right, going back to the lines, I'm going 8128. You are in the cipher. Let's go.
Bring it! What?
Eighty-one twenty-eight.
Are you
there?
How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing good. Yes. As I say, I be about being about what I be about. What you be about?
Yes, well, brother, we about being about ourselves. Okay,
all right.
And that is something that
I would like everyone who's listening and everyone that I actually get a chance to talk to concerning this, something to think about, something to truly consider, because it's very simple and it's very superficially seen that we are the only people in this country who have been systematically disconnected from ourselves, which is our heritage, and what our self-knowledge and understanding of ourselves. We're the only people in this country.
True.
Even the natives who lived here, right, chose extinction to conformity, okay? So they still have that, even though they are still in a very, you know, repressed state. But what I'm saying this to say is that some very simple things for us to consider. Number one, even before slavery ended, we in this country as a people have attempted to defy what white people have said about us, that we are inferior to them. And from that particular mindset on, we have attempted to prove that we are as good as them and that we can be like them. From the onset of the Civil War, groves, thousands of black people fled to the Union camps to sign up to fight in the war for their freedom. I mean, that was a great thing, the fact that we wanted to fight. As a matter of fact, the war couldn't have been won if we, 150,000 of us, did not fight on the Union side. That, at least that meant. And I'm sure there was more. In any case, we want our own freedom. Make no mistake. We won it, okay? We fought in that war. But the war was not about us. And from that point on, we have been attempting to assimilate, to convince, to prove, to show that we're as good as them. We are as good as ourselves. We are not in a comparison, in a contest, in any form of look-alike that we have been subconsciously set on in this country. We have been attempting to prove that we are good enough, going to war, fighting these countries, wars, incorporating ourselves into these systems. We have been trying to say, look at me, I'm good as you, instead of I'm as good as I am because I am a unique individual and I have
like that.
Unique qualities. Okay. And once you consider the fact that you do not have anything and never did have anything to prove to anyone at all but yourself, that you are who you are and that you love who you are, which means you will love everyone who looks like you. That
I
is
like
our
that.
Journey, right? That's our journey. Our journey is to disconnect from trying to prove anything to anybody but us, okay? And that is something that I know that is very difficult in this program, and even from the Willie Lynch and every brother that has talked before me has been saying the same thing in various ways. My way of saying it is, in my mind, a very simplistic way. You ain't got nothing to prove. You do not have to do anything but take this knowledge that you've gotten from attempting to prove and turn it on and proving yourself and your people, and stop attempting to serve a master that will do nothing for you at all, because he never has, he never will, and he never wanted to, and he never will want to, right? And that is the other side of the coin, okay? If you have any doubt that you still got to prove something, okay, because it ain't going to ever work unless you turn it in on yourself and look in the mirror and see who you are, what you are, and start to love yourself and all the selves that look like you. That is where it is. I think the core basis of this dis-ease that we've developed in this country, okay, we have nothing to prove. Because these people brutalized us, because our ancestors fought, died, and survived to get us a continued sense of existence and living and overcoming all the things that we've been subject to, is enough for us to know that, yes, we are a people that can survive anything. So can
That's
we
true.
Survive ourselves? Can we survive ourselves?
There
is no other people who've gone through what we've gone through. No other people. Okay? Take pride
That's true.
In what our ancestors have achieved. Okay? And turn it on yourself. We need to come together because we got a lot of knowledge, because we got a lot of positions. Right? I was just looking at positions just in here in Richmond. I just found out that the RRHA is ran by all black people.
All right, brother. I got to hold you right there. I got to hold you right
okay.
there. I appreciate you. But you're going on to something else now. I got to get to the next person on the line, but I thank you so
anyway,
much.
Brother,
I'll try to get back to you.
Like the,
all right.
Like the brothers said,
you,
love
brother.
Ourselves.
I like okay. that. Thank you, brother. Man, the brother's got a whole lot to say. It's powerful. All right. Nine one one six. Are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Welcome to Empowerment Hour. How are you? Yes, sir.
I'm great. I'm great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Doing well. What you got for me, brother?
Just wanted to touch on the youth that I'm seeing every day. And how we can impact those population of people. There's so many kids walking around trying to replace what they lacked growing up, which is in a major way, and so many instances, a father or a positive figure. I mean, it's so many layers. There's so many different layers that we have to peel back and repair.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing on the everyday ground level, I'm on the ground level every day in Aston, Jackson Ward, Hillside. Not working for nobody's program. I'm just there, like, doing different services, talking to people. So many young brothers worship these drugs. But you still see greatness in them. Like, we need programs. We need programs. We need action. It's time for action. I mean, I see young brothers, man, that had so much potential. From me starting my tenure doing counseling 10 years
mm-hmm.
ago. Guys 10 years old is younger than me. I just strung out that. In tune with society at all. You know, so it's like, how do we reach those guys? Those are my main concerns. The young guys. Because I see so much in them. And they can do so much. Like, they can do so much for us as a people. But it's like they're just forgotten. So it's like, that's my focus right now. How can we pull those soldiers in? You know? But there's just so many layers that we got to fix, brother. You know, I don't want to take too much time, talk too much. But I've never really been a big talker. I want to do a lot of action. We're going over a book, Post-Traumatic Slavery Syndrome, and it talks about cognitive dissonance a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Cognitive dissonance is not only something that higher society or whites use to treat others wrong, but it's something that we have started to use to treat our own people wrong. Like, to leave our kids by the wayside, a fatherless society, we use this cognitive dissonance to start looking at them as if this is how they're supposed to act or react, you know, and it's continuing the cycle, continuing to have negative output, negative energy first on our youth and ourselves.
Right.
Like, that cognitive dissonance is a serious thing that needs to be addressed.
You know, true.
So many different things I can talk about. Mental health, neglect, so on. You know, we just got a lot of issues. We need a lot of action behind them. A lot of issues.
True.
But I'm not gonna take up my time today. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, thank you, brother. I appreciate you so much. Keep the work going.
Yes, sir.
Keep the work going. Thank you, brother. Man, like the brother said, so much. There's so much going on. So much going on. What I'm going to do now is I want to deviate just a bit, and I'm going to try to hit back to the lines. But I just want to touch on this R. Kelly thing for just a minute, right? Because, again, we got to understand who we are. The brother said we're as good as ourselves, but, again, it's some stuff that's going on.
R. Kelly is now a convicted sexual predator, one who has left a mark on the music landscape. As he faces decades behind bars, many are grappling with uncomfortable yet familiar questions about another celebrity's place in American culture. Joining us now to discuss this is Mark Anthony Neal. He's the James B. Duke Distinguished Professor of African American Studies at Duke University. Mark, thank you so much for joining us. I know you've written extensively about R. Kelly over the years. I think one of the biggest questions people are asking themselves now is, you know, should we be listening to his music? Can you separate the art from the artist? What are your thoughts?
That's always going to be difficult. I mean, he's not an outlier here. You know, there's stories about intimate partner abuse with folks like Miles Davis and Bill Withers, and we hold their music in much higher esteem than we do R. Kelly. I think the thing that's different, you know, is that most of that happened before the digital era, before there was a digital footprint, if you will. And I think with R. Kelly's case, you know, because his music been pushed towards things that folks with vulgarity, for lack of a better way to describe it, I think it'll be easier for people to dismiss his art the same way, cancel his art, if you will, the same way they're canceling him. You know, it's really hard to think about diving deep into the emotionality of R. Kelly's work, given the kind of predatory monster that he's been revealed to be, you know, really now for about 20 years.
You said in a recent New York Times article, quote, many black folks grew up in a context where R. Kelly was literally the soundtrack of their lives. There was a similar sentiment around Bill Cosby for what he did on television. He was America's dad. Talk to us about the impact of these two cases on American culture.
You know, R. Kelly was one of the best-selling, or if maybe the best-selling R&B artist of the 1990s and well into the 2000s. He was able to tap into a certain kind of sensibility with songs like I Believe I Can Fly and, you know, Step in the Name of Love that resonated with many black audiences. And in that regard, you know, everybody listened to his music, right? Even the stuff that, you know, wasn't as vulgar. But I think it does raise questions about the kind of totems that we invest in, the kinds of these iconic figures. With Bill Cosby, I think it was a little easier for the black community to cancel him or dismiss him, if you will, because he had said things about the black community that was disparaging, that people really pushed back upon, right? He had a kind of elitism about him, particularly when talking about the black working class and the way that they name people. With R. Kelly, I think it's striking to me that because his crimes were directed towards black women and black girls, that, you know, the story didn't get the same kind of traction. I think what the R. Kelly trial raises for us is a real significant question about the role of where black women and black girls are in this society, particularly when they're, you know, subject of sexual violence and rape. There's no way in the world, in my mind, that, you know, there should have been radio stations still playing R. Kelly's music as recently as 4 or 5 years ago. You know, when rumors about R. Kelly had circulated in the late 1990s, and of course, the first, you know, case emerges in 2002.
I want to ask you more.
Okay. Can you separate the art from the artist? Right? Can you separate the crime from the person? Right? I don't want to listen to his music no more because of what he did. Oh, well, I don't want to watch his show no more for what he did or what she did or what they did. Here's my question. How come nobody's saying that about people who have been known to be predators around the world? I said it. How about that? How come nobody's saying, well, we're not going to do this anymore because you've done this to so many people, that you've abused so many people, that you've enslaved people, you've raped people? This is not directed at anybody. I'm just asking a question, maybe. Why is nobody saying, well, we need to have reparations for what y'all did, or can we bring you to trial for what you've done? Right? He's an organization now. So the organization that enslaved your ancestors, how come they be on trial? Just a question. I'm going back to 1683. See that? That's how these things work. This is how, eject, just like that. How? See how you can switch it over, flip it around, all of a sudden.
Bring it!
1683. See, I'm gonna be quiet now, right? But I'm just say this, right? You talk about Bill Cosby, you talk about R. Kelly, you talk about all these entertainers and the egregious things that they've done. How come we can sweep so much stuff under the rug about other things that other people have done, and it doesn't seem to be an issue at all? 1683, you there?
I'm here, brother. And I'm gonna ask the question. Okay, after all this stuff white folk have done to us,
whoops,
how in the hell can I read the Bible that
oh,
he gave me,
Lord,
and believe in it? Again, after all, I'm just piggybacking on what you said about R. Kelly now. After all the stuff white folk have done to us, how can I read the Bible with King
it's
James'
the good
name?
Book, brother. It's the good
according
book.
To according to who? The man that done all this stuff to you and me.
I can't mess with people's religion. I'm stepping back.
I'm just telling y'all that's listening. I ain't messing with your religion.
You got to believe what you believe in. I'm firm in that. Go ahead, brother.
I'm just asking the question. You set up these scenarios, these hypotheticals, okay? Based on what R. Kelly did, we can't listen to his music anymore. Based on what they done to us, how can you read and teach the Bible anymore that he gave you? That's just a question. Just a simple question. But it's all about money, brother. They're coming back to the power of money. Look who R. Kelly is, and look who we as a people have been taught from the plantation on to look up to. Our idols. Our idols are entertainers. They're the people with the money that we see. You know, we see them on television. We read about them in the magazines and all in the grocery stores and all. The superstars, our heroes, because they are entertainers. They are popular. White folks have made them popular. And who taught Bill Cosby and gave Bill Cosby the drug to put in the women's drink? White folks. Who taught R. Kelly that mindset of his to do? Who gave him all that popularity that he has that put him in a position? Brother, you're in the entertainer in the industry and you popular. You got women throwing themselves at you every day. Every day. The bigger star
True.
You are and the more money you make, they at your feet all the time. Okay? That's the entertainers. That's who our leaders are. And what's the definition of entertainer? Fool. That's the definition of the word fool, is an entertainer. The singers, the dancers, the comedians, the jokesters, the fools. The king would say, bring the fools in the king and his court. Bring in the fools. And the dancers would come in. The singers would come in. The storytellers, the actors, the actresses, you know, the comedians. Those are the people that are made popular in black community. Those are the people that we're supposed to aspire to and get the money. That's how we get the money. That was in hitting the lottery. We get the money by being fools.
Hmm.
entertainers. Okay, so don't be surprised about what R. Kelly's done. Don't be surprised about the Bill Cosby, Darren Shopper, who I know personally. Don't be surprised because you are taught that. But we get in that environment and we think we can do the things that we see them do. No.
Mm.
I can get you anytime I want to because I know what you're doing. I can I have given you, I can take from you anytime I want to take it from you because I know what you are doing. I got you started. And they said, for a Klansman to join the Klan, for a white man to join the Klan, his initiation was he had to kill a nigger, okay?
Oh.
Had to kill a nigger to get in the Klan. That way, everybody in here done killed niggers, and we can't tell on each other. You know? We can't. That's another old saying. They say, show me who your friends are, I'll show you who you are. Okay, if you hang with a bunch of men that cheating on their wives, what is your wife gonna think about you?
Hmm.
You know, if you hang with thieves, what are you? If all your boys thieves, what do you think you are? You know, my daddy used to say, you put a preacher and a thief together for a year and come back in your house and you're just going to have two preachers or two thieves. And I don't know if that's a thing, but I'm in on that.
All right, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Peace.
All right. Great show today. Oh, man. I'm going to try to get one more in. So the question is, right, I think I want to try to continue this next week, maybe, right? But we're going to have to be able to look at ourselves, right? I'm going to get one more. No, I'm going to do one more thing, and then I'll wrap it up. I'm going over to 8128 real quick for some final comments, and then I'm going to wrap it up. All right, here we go, 8128. If you're ready, I'm going to you, and then we'll wrap it for today. Thank you very much. If you lay down by a dog, you wake up with the fleas. All right, 8128, are you there?
My brother,
all
I
right,
think that we've done a very good job of keeping the focus on the same issue here. And it goes back to, and we've said it in various ways, that it is simply the fact that we have been attempting to assimilate these people. We've been attempting to join them, to prove ourselves like them. That is a psychological syndrome where the imprisoned or the oppressed become the oppressors. When you attempt to become like someone who's oppressors to prove yourself that you are as good as them, you get the R. Kelly, you get the Bill Cosby, but you also got these white folks who ran television stations who were significant in entertainment. Do they talk about them like that? Black people are pointed out for one reason, because they are enforcing us looking at ourselves in comparison to these other people. Stop doing it. Don't compare yourself. These people who gain this money and so-called power by these white people are acting and proving themselves by being like them, developing the same types of traits, syndromes, and imbalances that they have. We've got to stop doing it. Stop looking at ourselves in comparison to anybody. We have a great history. We have the most significant history on this planet, okay? And I have not read anything that in our past we were anything like that. We've done different things in our country, in Africa, but nothing to compare with the system that was developed by this 10% of the world's population who only looks at themselves and their dysfunction as being something to be celebrated. It never was, it never will be, and we need to look at that through ourselves. Change your thoughts. It's never too late to do that. As long as you're on this planet, you can change your mind. Don't try to be like them. Get what you need and use it for yourself.
Well, all right. We got to wrap it right here, brother. I appreciate it. That's all the time we got. It's Empowerment Hour, 365 days of motivation. Come back next week. Tell somebody about the show. I'll talk to y'all soon. Peace and blessings.
Scorned and covered with scars, still strong.